Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I am graced with the presence of Sister Daniela Jean. How are you doing today, sister?
I'm doing well right here in Miami. I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, man, I envy you because it's starting to feel cold up here in Michigan, and I know Miami must be still looking very beautiful even in the fall. Am I right?
You are 100% correct.
Awesome. Well, we want just to start off and ask if you could give us a short bio about yourself and what you are doing now.
Awesome. Okay. Well, my name is Daniela Jean, as was said. Currently, I'm working in local government in risk management. Been there 8 years. Ministry-wise, I'm leading out as young adult leader at Mount Pisgah Seventh-day Adventist Church in Miami Gardens. I'm an author, I'm a speaker, and God has allowed me to venture into many avenues of ministry throughout the last 15 or so years, and currently running for office in the city of North Miami Beach as a commissioner for a commissioner seat that's open this upcoming November. So I'm excited about the different avenues that God has allowed me to lead in. It's been amazing.
Oh, wow. Whenever I think about you, I think about someone who is doing a lot of things. I'm talking about a lot. I mean, you said you're running for office, you're a speaker, so many things. So my question is, how do you balance doing it all, doing so much on your plate?
It's definitely a balancing act, but you know, when you have passion and you have God-given gifts and abilities, you know, like the parable of the talents, you know, you have one ability and it extends to more as you give it to God. So people always ask me that question. I don't have an answer to that. I'm a multitasker, and God has just gifted me with the ability to balance a lot and to be able to prioritize different things and still be able to give optimal level of service to the community. So that's a blessing, just being able to balance it all.
Wow. What I got from that answer is that you say everybody asks you that, but from your perspective, correct me if I'm wrong, but from your perspective, it's like, no, this is just what I do. So it's like, you know, it just tells us that, you know, everybody is different and what they can handle. And I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, the more you stretch yourself, the further you go. And so oftentimes once you take that first step and venture into something, there's a momentum that pushes you forward, and God wants you to reach different people. And so the more you stretch yourself, the further you go. So I think that's a great analogy for my journey in ministry.
Okay. So the next thing I want to ask you is, you said you're running for office. Could you elaborate, tell us what that job that you're running for entails? How's it going? Do you see yourself winning? Could you let us know?
It's been interesting. I've been thinking about this for many years. And, you know, being a Christian, being Seventh-day Adventist, being in the realm of working in government, I was balancing work-life balance and do I want to be that public figure? But because of my passion for people, I took a long time to pray, fast, and also, you know, talk to different advisors and mentors. And people were like, pray on it. It seems like this is what the path that God wants for you in this season. So it took me a long time to finally file my paperwork and do that. And the commissioners basically are the stakeholders for the city. They make policies and allow the public to be able to be a voice through the commissioners to be able to facilitate change and basically help govern the city with the help of the other public officials that are on the dais and the department heads that are running the day-to-day operations. So it's an interesting job, to say the least, but I'm excited about the potential of winning. There's a lot of candidates in my race, and I'm putting my best foot forward. So the best is yet to come. Win or lose, I'm a winner. So I'm excited about just the journey has been so many lessons in the journey of doing this. So I recommend it to people who are willing to put themselves out there. Definitely.
Wow. Because the next question I was going to bring to you is, with the things that have been happening lately, the SDA Church has been saying certain things like, you know, don't get political or things like that. Or, you know, we should stay away from the world of politics. And yet, here you are running for office. And it's so my question is, right off that is, if when you hear statements like that, what do you say, especially from, you know, someone who is running for office and is getting involved in the political landscape?
Right. And I was born into this faith too, you know. So my slogan is, ironically, people over politics. And so representation matters and our voice matters. And we need representation in all realms, from not only government, politics, but healthcare, the law enforcement side. There needs to be Christian representation of Christ in every realm, because we see that the world is lacking love. And yes, the separation of church and state, we know that. But also, we know that there needs to be a forward trajectory of where we are as a people. So as a collective, not just an Adventist group or whatever, but our voice should be able to transform the world. For example, take the vegan movement, right? We had the health message, and look at what's going on in the world now. Everybody's going vegan, everybody's going plant-based. And so we have the message and we can't just hold it in. And also, Christ has representatives in every arena. So why not in the arena that makes decisions and policies that govern the way we live our lives?
Wow. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, politicians are people who do a lot of speeches and are very talented in being eloquent in speaking. How do you think being a speaker translated into the landscape of politics? Has that really helped you and given you the confidence to, or do you see it as two separate things and just your passion for people just comes out when you're talking?
You know, when you say speaker, I feel like I've always had a passion for words. So, for example, I've written a couple books and I've always been able to express myself well. And hey, that is a tool that we all need. Public speaking is a tool that we all need in whatever arena, but it has definitely translated very well. And ironically enough, even with the book that I wrote called Live Your Worth, someone said to me, you should do a weekly broadcast. And I was like, I speak, but I don't necessarily want to be weekly in front of people. And just me being able to have this broadcast every Wednesday has allowed me to grow that confident bone in being able to speak live and speak on the spot. And so every moment that you have prepares you for another level of ministry or another level of being able to reach a group that you haven't reached before. So every talent and skill set has to be sharpened. So yes, it has quote unquote translated well, but speaking well and also being able to articulate important information is two different things, right? And so you still have to have a wealth of knowledge tied into the ability to express it to and convey that message to others. So it's twofold. It's not only being able to speak well, but it's also being able to have that knowledge that allows you to be like, she's not just running her mouth. She knows what she's talking about and she's well-versed. So it's twofold.
Wow. Ivy, there's so many things I could ask you. Ivy, it's like I'm learning everything that you're saying. So going now, switching from speaking in politics to being a writer, I mean, if there is somebody out there who has a message they want to say, but they're afraid to write that book or get started in that, what would you say to that? And what led you to start writing books?
All right. So I started my ministry when I was about 15 years old, and I had a sign language ministry, which I would teach kids how to do American Sign Language. and we would put it to music. So we would tour. So I was a kid leading kids. And through that experience, God blessed me to reach thousands of people through that ministry. And I started getting sick. I started having these body pains, and eventually it was fibromyalgia, and I couldn't really lift my arms as I could. And it's funny, when you're in the public eye in the church realm, you know, people don't necessarily know your struggles. As long as you're talented, you're like, you have a seat at the table if you have gifts that are tangible and that people can actually feel, you know, get service from. And so when I started having these ailments, I was asking God, like, what do you want me to do next? And, you know, there was a testimony that I hadn't shared because I struggled a lot with self-esteem and self-worth. And I feel like that's something that the church doesn't necessarily talk about. And so the journey to having Godfidence or God esteem was basically the testimony that I needed to share. And even in me writing the book and doing that, it was a moment of, do I really want the Christian community, my community, to know the struggles that I was actually experiencing? And so as I just started with a journal and writing things down, I literally YouTube the whole process of publishing a book, self-publishing a book. And that's how I got the book. So if you want to start, you have to know what God is telling you to say, and you have to be prepared to share that with an audience. And so there has to be a healing process that has to take place even before you share your story. Because when you put yourself out there, if the wounds are not healed, it's harder to convey that message. And so I had to go through my own healing process. And like I said, I YouTube the whole process. So once God gives you an idea and you're confirmed in that, you have to pray fast. And then you have to ask God, is this the season for me to go forward? And then if he gives you the green light to do so, YouTube the process. And that's what I did to self-publish. So if you have a story, it's possible you can do it, but you have to make sure that your motives and intentions are centered in what Christ wants you to do.
Wow. All right. That was powerful, great insight. And I love that the fact that you just said you YouTubed it and you learned how to do it. So it's like how I could say is, once you're confirmed by God saying go after it, it's like, you know, you just go into that journey and learn as best you can, ask questions, and just go forward. So yeah. Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. So going forward, what I got from your answer, which is really interesting, is you started seeing your testimony at a very young age. So my question is, was there anyone that surrounded you besides, you know, the Holy Spirit that encouraged you to go after what God has called you to do, that led you to feel more confident in writing about Godfidence and all these kinds of things?
Ooh, man, that's a tough question. I wish I had an easy answer. Because I was a mentor at such an early age, not even knowing that I was, I realized that the need for me to be a mentor came from not being mentored. So I didn't necessarily have a mentor. I had people at my church who I looked up to. I had people who poured into me, maybe not indirectly, but did so. But I didn't have someone necessarily holding my hand. And because I felt that there was a need for that, I became that. And so now I seek mentors with more intention because I know I'm going into different realms. But I felt that there was such a lack for me that I created that space. And even in creating that space, I was not perfect. Yeah. In, you know, because not every person is matched, right? When you're giving advice, but you know, sometimes you're not exactly matched in that realm that journey of that person is going through. So for me, I wish I had more people who were directly assigned to me, but indirectly, many people were on my path that helped me, but not, I don't know if they were assigned to me particularly, you know?
Yeah. Wow. This is something that I'm really amazed to hear, but not necessarily surprised, because it's something that I've experienced as well, where I, one of the reasons I talk about mentorship is, yeah, I didn't really receive mentorship. And so I find that it's such a powerful dynamic, such a powerful relationship that can really jumpstart someone into finding what their purpose is, that yeah, it's, so you became a mentor at a very early age. Can I ask, what, how did you mentor people that were, you know, probably your same age as you, and what avenues were they coming to you for advice?
I mean, the biggest thing was education and character development, obviously, as well. Obviously, I gotta give thanks to my parents as well, and, you know, the formation that I got at home. But moving into that space of being a mentor to someone else, school was the biggest thing. And, you know, my experience of school is a whole different story. But, you know, oftentimes we see each other in church, or we see youth in church, and we tell them, do this, do that, or you should, but we don't walk them through it. And so that was one of the things that I try to do, was to instruct them on, this is a way that you can probably think about doing, or why don't you try doing that, or trying to shift this, the arena, so they can think more broadly, because people were not necessarily sharing their story as it relates to journeys with school or relationships, or, you know, the things that we need mentoring with. So for me, it was a lot of etiquette. I did a lot of etiquette training. I did a lot of planning for school and college. I did a lot of etiquette as it relates to performance as well, since we did a lot of ministering on stage. And so it was a broad range of areas where I mentored over 100 kids throughout these last years, at least 200 kids.
Wow. So over 200 or over two. Well, either way, you can tell I'm already just amazed in that effectiveness. Can you let people know how these 200 lives were changed thanks to your mentorship?
Indirectly and directly, some of them I've seen grow into professionals, leaders in their own right. And it goes back to something I mentioned at the beginning as it relates to healing. You know, a lot of times when we're mentors, some of the same traumas that we experience, sometimes we are not healed from those things. And sometimes we don't know how to properly mentor, but we're doing our best. And so in my story, I've seen a lot of them go out into the world, become parents, get married, become professionals. And it's been an amazing journey to see them grow. And I know that the seeds that were planted early on, some of those seeds were planted by me, and God allowing me to be in their lives for that season. So, you know, even when mentorship, sometimes it's for a season, it's not always for a lifetime. So that's another a component of mentorship, where you might never see the end product or the fruit of that person's full blooming, but you know that a couple of those seeds that you planted, you know, they were probably a branch or a leaf on, you know, something like that. So, but I've seen a lot of the kids, or now they're young adults, blossom into young professionals, parents, everything. So it's a wide spectrum.
Wow. So I've learned a lot listening to you, and I definitely will continue to look at what you do. Can you let the people know where they can find you, and, you know, probably find where your books are, and follow your results of your election and all these things, because all this stuff I'm going to be tuning in. So yeah, could you let the people know where they can find you?
I will. And another very exciting thing that I'm very excited about is my passion for young adults. And so I've written a young adult manual that's going to be released in the next couple of months. And so I'm excited about that. It's called Young and Thriving. And so you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Danny Empowers. Danny Empowers is the page that I talk about everything as it relates to young adults and empowerment in my weekly broadcast called Wisdom Wednesdays. So Danny Empowers, D-A-N-I-E-M POWERS. And then Daniela Jean, Daniela Jean on all social media platforms. You should be able to follow me in my journey as it relates to the political realm. Vote Daniela for NMB is also the page there. So I'm excited to connect with everyone. And the journey is not pretty, but it's going somewhere. It's going somewhere.
Wow. Yes, this has been a power-packed episode. I mean, and I know that God is using you in a mighty way, and I am definitely going to be checking out your program on Wednesdays because I still got a lot to learn. So usually, as I do on this podcast, is I give it to the guests to give some words of encouragement. I have had former guests, mentees, who are young women, who have been confronted with a saying, there are things that you cannot do in this world. Or, you know, I had a former guest who said was told that she couldn't become a pastor and things like that. So if you could address anybody who's listening, especially that young lady out there who's listening, who is being told that, no, they can't do many great things, or they have to take a step back or things like that. What words of encouragement would you give to that young lady?
That's who. You got to read the book, Live Your Worth. I'll start there. But I will say this, you know, we are royalty. The Bible calls us, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation and a peculiar people. And that means that we are heirs to the throne, right? And we serve the Almighty God. He's the King of Kings, and that makes us royalty. And I'm a daughter of the King. And so because I'm the daughter of the King, there really are no limits to where I can go. There are really no limits to what I can do in Him. And if anyone puts a limitation on you, know that it's not from God, because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And the key is not only knowing your worth, but being able and having the confidence to live it in every area of your life. So I'm praying and speaking boldness over your life. I'm praying courage and power, knowing that you are affirmed in Christ. You have already been affirmed, certified, verified by the King of Kings. And that's really all you need to be great in the lane that God wants you to excel in. And listen, make no excuses. Just know that the power is already within you. You just got to tap in and release that into the world, because someone is depending on your testimony to be great. So it's time. Let's get it.